Welcome to Stoma for Life, the Bowel Cancer Awareness and Life as an Ostomate radio show and podcast. Your host, Raffaella, is here to debunk myths, clear up misconceptions, and help you approach the subject that so many people are afraid to talk about in a positive manner. Listen in for a new perspective. Stoma for Life on UK Health Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Stoma for Life here on UK Health Radio. First of all, a very big shout out to all of you out there for all the positive feedback I've received ever since I started this radio show and podcast. It's been absolutely overwhelming, and I do love reading all your feedback and stories. So please do keep them coming in. Now, I'm going to start today's show with a quote by Mark Twain. There are two important days in everybody's life. The first day is the day you're born, and the second day is the day when you find out why. Now, I'm sure this resonates with a lot of you, because once you've received a diagnosis or once you have had an ostomy surgery, your life is never quite the same. Today's guest has fought many battles, but not the kind of battles that you are thinking of. He's a retired U.S. Navy Operation Desert Storm Enduring Freedom in Iraqi veteran. His name is Dan Drydock Shockley. He is an 11-year hereditary colon cancer syndrome warrior with a permanent ileostomy. Now, Dan was diagnosed with AFAP after his first and only colonoscopy at the age of 51. AFAP is a germline DNA mutation estimated to impact less than 0.03% of the global population. Dr. Henry T. Lynch, the founding father of hereditary cancer research, is credited with discovering AFAP, and Dan had the honor of meeting Dr. Lynch shortly after he was diagnosed and had a successful total proctocolectomy and a permanent ileostomy surgery. They remained in contact throughout the years as he was tracking Dan's AFAP journey. He considered Dan a colleague and reviewed his annual endoscopic surveillance pathology reports, providing his feedback and insight. Dan sees it as his purpose to educate the medical students and professionals about AFAP and to continue the legacy of Dr. Lynch in the hopes of saving lives. A big welcome to the show, all the way from California, Dan Drydock Shockley. Hi there.
Hi, Raffaella. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm great. I'm so grateful for you to join me on today's show. As I said in the intro, you had only a one-time colonoscopy. And that's when it was detected that you had a very rare form of cancer. Perhaps you can take us back to that time.
Absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to share my journey on your platform. At 51 years old, I underwent my first and only colonoscopy. And it was a routine check. I knew when I turned the age, they'd schedule it. So had no reservations about having the procedure. When I had woke up, my GI doctor, he discovered 100 polyps embedded through my colon, rectum, and anus. And he had mentioned that one of those polyps was causing an 80% blockage in my ascending colon. Now, based on these results, and I was asymptomatic, he wanted to have a certified genetic counselor do a germline DNA test to rule out what he had thought would be a hereditary colon cancer syndrome known as familial adenomatous polyposis. Now, I know that's a lot. It's a mouthful, a lot to digest, no pun intended. However, I went to see the certified genetic counselor, and I was at Tripler Army Medical Center in Hawaii, where I resided at the time. And I'm retired military. The germline DNA test took place. I was informed that it would probably be about anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks before the results come back. Now, in the meantime, I had no idea what this was. I had no indication anything was going on in my body. I started asking a lot of questions to my genetic counselor, the colorectal surgeon who was assigned to my case, my GI doctor, as well as my primary care doctor. And I was provided some very helpful information about the mutation. If I did indeed have it, if the results came back positive that the germline DNA mutation is there, present, then I would undergo a surgery to remove my colon, rectum, and anus and be outfitted with a permanent ileostomy. And then also I had to learn about what life is like having an ostomy. So being the military, mindset that I had, I broke it down into three phases. So I read about the mutation they thought I had. I read about the type of surgery, read about life as an ostomy. However, reading about, theory is one thing, practical application is another. So the results came back 6 weeks later, confirming that I had the mutation. However, it wasn't the mutation they thought of, familial adenomatous polyposis. It was attenuated FAP. Now, in a nutshell, the difference is attenuated FAP has a later onset in life between 50 and 55. I was in that window. Now, it's in the best practice of medicine to have this surgery. And I said, I want the surgery. And my surgeon looked at me. He goes, Daniel, I thought that's what you'd say. I've already scheduled your surgery. It's 2 weeks from today. I had the surgery. Mm-hmm. It was a 6-hour surgery. When I woke up, I knew where I was. And the first thing I said is, did you find everything you were looking for? And my surgeon talked to me, and the medical team assigned to the ward. All the charge nurses came in, all seven of them. They took all the charge nurses and they had them around my bed. And so they had to explain what I underwent, and I'd be in the hospital for about a week. So my mindset was to adapt, improvise, and overcome. Through my military experience, I tend not to think about things I'm unable to control, such as medical issues. What I can control is my positive attitude. Yeah. And my positive attitude has brought me this far in life. Why change now?
Nicely said.
And so I continued to reach out. Even before my surgery, I was reaching out to the United Ostomy Associations of America and several colon cancer organizations. Now, it's important to note the mutation that I've been diagnosed with is a hereditary colon cancer syndrome. Mm-hmm. However, they were able to remove the colon, rectum, and anus before that mutation manifested into other organs, because it will and has manifested in other organs. So that being said, that one polyp that was causing an 80% blockage in my ascending colon, mm-hmm. it turned out to be an 8-centimeter tumor that was listed as high-grade dysplasia. So mm-hmm. I'm not a medical professional, but I've been informed by many of my colleagues through the years that that's as close to stage zero cancer as you can get. And unfortunately, the surgeon, my colorectal surgeon, just happened to be the chief colorectal surgeon at Triple Army Medical Center. He was able to successfully remove the associated lymph nodes. So we took care of that at one, all at one time.
All at once, yeah.
And I woke up and my wound nurse assigned to me at the hospital, she was amazing, and she sat with me to explain to me about taking, how to care for my, prosthetic arrangement.
Yeah, your new lifesaver or your friend, your new friend.
My friend. I call him Oscar.
Oscar, that's very good. That's very good. Yeah. So I suppose it's just like in the UK, you only get discharged once you're able to deal with changing your bag and comfortable in doing that. Well, with me, it took me a couple of days just to get my head around it because I was extremely sore and I had a lot of other medical issues alongside that. But once I learned how to change my bag, I mean, obviously I felt comfortable and ready to go home.
Yeah, it was a good experience. I was sore. I mean, I had in my midline, I had 35 staples. Where my anus used to be, I had 13 staples. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm 6'1", and I'm weighing in wow. in the bed, hospital bed, at a 45 degree angle, so my feet were sticking out on the side. But
wow.
I just needed to recover. I mean, I knew what was going on, but I hadn't experienced this. I just, you know, read about it, but it's, you know, like I said, theory is one thing, out of practical application is another. And my wound nurse was able to guide me along, and I had a lot of other resources as well. And I reached out to Hollister. That's the ostomy line of ostomy products that I utilize, and they had a DVD for beginner ostomates. So my wound nurse brought in a little portable DVD player and put it by my bed, and we watched the DVD. I was like, this is great. You know what I mean? So that started me off. I had all my supplies, and when I got home, I already had a box in the mail that came from Hollister for the Secure Start, and I had my, you know, I was ready to go. And I mean, it took time because I was physically just wiped out. However, mentally, I knew, you know, I just tried to just take things slow, but I felt really good. I mean, mentally, emotionally, I was fine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but I had the resources, but I continued to reach out. So, you know, mm-hmm. that was the important thing. I'm not, like I said, I'm not a medical professional. However, I'm a very attentive patient. So,
mm-hmm. Yes. And you informed yourself beforehand. You had time to sort of get your mind around it, what was actually going to happen. And so it wasn't a complete surprise when you woke up and you had to deal with Oscar.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. See, my surgery was mm-hmm. planned, mm-hmm. and it was permanent.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of other cases out there where it's unplanned, or it's mm-hmm. unplanned and it's permanent, unplanned and temporary, and some yeah. of them are planned and temporary. However, I knew from the get-go that this was going to be,
yeah.
you know, permanent, and of course yeah. it was planned. So
absolutely. Well, with me, it was also, I mean, I only had 6 days to prepare from my diagnosis to the surgery. But with me, I also knew I was going to have a permanent stoma. And so my whole family, the night before our surgery, we just embraced it. We just said, whatever is coming, we love it. It's your lifesaver, and we're all prepared for it. And I think to have that in the back of your mind, that your family and loved ones are behind you all the way, is an added bonus.
Absolutely. And your GI doctor, he's behind you too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Gotta have fun. Gotta have fun with this, you know?
Yeah, yeah, of course. And I love your positivity and your outlook on life, really. It's so refreshing, because obviously it is totally different. And your life, you've made a decision to make the best out of it. Because I know a lot of people will, when they listen to this, they'll most probably think, wow, you know, would I make the same decision? But you know, one can only judge once you've been in that position, and nobody fights for your own life like you do. And so I want to just go back. Before you had the colonoscopy, you had no symptoms whatsoever. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just went in, you know, every year, even when I was in the military, we have physical examinations yeah. every year, even before I joined the military. But,
yeah.
you know, once I retired in 2003, I had served on active mm-hmm. duty in 22 years,
yeah.
traveled the world, was on 7 different ships, and in the Persian Gulf, 3 different times on ships. Mm-hmm. And then one time, my last time, I was on the ground in Bahrain through the last 2 years of my service. But when mm-hmm. I retired, I was registered with the Veterans Administration healthcare, and mm-hmm. go through my physical on an annual basis, and they mm-hmm. check everything, you know, head to toe. So
yeah.
they right away they said, well, you're 43, so when you turn 50, mm-hmm. it's recommended that you have a colonoscopy. And I said, mm-hmm. sure, no problem. Me and my parents have had them, my siblings, I'm the youngest of my siblings, they've had them. And so when I turned 50, I scheduled it.
Yeah.
And here we are.
So what we're actually advocating here is to take that serious, you know, although obviously when one turns 50, I mean, I've turned 50, and that's the last thing you want to hear, that you are now ready to have something like that done. But I think learning from your story, it's absolutely correct to do that. You know, it's just for your, first of all, for your peace of mind. And then, obviously, because the age category is where one would have potentially have or pick up a problem. So just to do that in before is actually, it's actually the way to go.
Absolutely. And keep in mind also, family history plays a big role in this, significant role. And here in the U.S., how appropriate, this is the month of November, the Thanksgiving, and what a great time to talk to your family around your phone, your holiday gatherings, and just share your thoughts and get the support from your family and you see if there's a family history. I mean, I know it's a delicate discussion, but or delicate topic, but this is the perfect time for those, you know, during the holidays to get together when you get together with your family and friends, and especially your family, see if there's a family history. And you know, even in recent years, the guidance I've been hearing is the colonoscopies to be scheduled as early as 45 if there's no family history. I know individuals that have been having colonoscopies before they were even teens, but there's a lot of factors involved. But the thing is, it's a situational awareness for the individual. Absolutely. But peace of mind definitely is a big key.
Absolutely. No, peace of mind definitely is key. And rightly so that you said now during Thanksgiving. I mean, first of all, we've got a lot of things to be thankful for as ostomates, you know, but also the awareness for the rest of the family. Now, when I came round the corner with my diagnosis, I think it was 3 or 4 friends of mine went and had a scheduled colonoscopy afterwards just to be sure, because they were also in that age group. Fortunately, nothing was found, but they said, you know, after hearing my story, and they just wanted to have that peace of mind.
Absolutely. And keep in mind, I had no family history. My parents are deceased. My maternal and paternal relatives have passed. I'm the youngest of my siblings, and I'm the youngest of my first cousins. So they've all had their colonoscopies. I shared what I had gone through. So they had that information, they being my first cousins and my siblings. Mm-hmm. So they share it with their GI doctors. I said, feel free to share, because we're trying to find out. We don't know where the mutation came from.
Yeah.
Now, just a side note, the mutation, attenuated FAP, was discovered by the late Dr. Henry T. Lynch. Now, he's the founding father of hereditary cancer research, and he started his research back in the very early 60s. In fact, Lynch syndrome, it's named after him.
Wow.
Well, little did I know that my genetic counselor and colorectal surgeon at Tripler were colleagues of Dr. Lynch. And at the time, he was a director of preventative medicine at Creighton University, Omaha, Nebraska. Well, 7 months after my surgery, guess who shows up in Hawaii? Dr. Lynch.
Wow.
Now,
incredible.
My genetic counselor invited me to one of his lectures. He was doing academic lectures, and this one took place on February 20th of 2013 at the University of Hawaii Cancer Center. She introduced me to Dr. Lynch in private, before, and personally introduced me to him before one of his lectures. And afterwards, we sat down, had lunch, and for an hour and 50 minutes, we talked about my case. And I carry a binder with me with copies of my documents. And at the time, it was a very small binder. I had my genetic testing results. I had my summary discharge and a few other documents. He reviewed everything. And he was 86 and a half years old, and he was still going in practicing at Creighton University. And we stayed in contact. He considered me a colleague, and he was tracking my journey. And I have to undergo annual endoscopic and surveillance. So he was reviewing my pathology reports and then he passed away at the age of 91 and a half years old. He was still going in researching. And that was on June 2nd of 2019. And up until that time, you know, he would review the results and say, okay, there's nothing to be alarmed about. Yeah. Just continue with your surveillance. So I had, you know, I'm living in the most perfect time, because my entire life up until June 2nd of 2019, he was devoted to hereditary cancer research. So that's the piece that I had. The peace of mind, because not only did I have a great medical team, the medical team knew Dr. Lynch personally, and then I got to meet him and stay in contact with him through the years. So what I want to do is share the importance of a positive attitude and to give back to the medical professionals, especially the medical students, because they're not taught, you know, attenuated FAP is a rare disease. Medical students are not, their curriculum does not include rare disease. Right. So any opportunity I have, you know, both internationally, I will share my journey on the importance of early detection.
Absolutely. So what a blessing. I mean, you know, I don't really believe in luck as such. You know, I just firmly believe things are just meant to happen. And for you to actually meet Dr. Henry Lynch, who is definitely the founding father of hereditary cancer research, and then actually to be in his care for basically for the rest of his life is actually quite incredible. And like you said, it gave you peace of mind. I mean, if not him, then who would be more qualified to look at your all your surveillance pathology reports? So, yeah, I find that absolutely fascinating.
A total blessing beyond anything I could ever think of.
Absolutely. We will have a short commercial break here on UK Health Radio and Stoma for Life, and we'll be back in a sec.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Now, welcome back to Stoma for Life. We have got Dan Dry Dog Shockley on his remarkable story about having been detected with AFAP about 11 years ago. So I was just fascinated about him meeting the founding father of hereditary cancer research, Dr. Henry Lynch. We concluded by mutually saying that this was absolutely wonderful for you to be in his care and get that peace of mind during the beginning of your ostomy journey.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's amazing. And that got the ball rolling, because then I'd already reached out to the United Ostomy Associations of America, because I wanted to, you know, now that I'm an ostomate, I wanted to learn as much as I could. And so I had I still have an amazing opportunity to collaborate with the UOAA over the last, it's been at least 10 years, it may be 10 and a half years, but look forward to many more opportunities of collaborating with them to share the importance of positivity. Mm-hmm. You know, hopefully we can silence the stigma of having an ostomy. There's nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to be embarrassed about. You know, just continue to, you know, remain positive, have an open mind, and ask lots of questions. I mean, I'm still learning. I mean, I've been in this journey for 11 and a half years. I ask lots of questions, and I have fun with it too, of course. Mm-hmm. But it's just, that's the humor side of me. I have to have puns, because, you know, just, you know, life can throw all kinds of obstacles at you, and I'm good at overcoming adversity, and my military experience, you know, been able to adapt, improvise, and overcome as I've learned from my Marine comrades. And positivity is, in my opinion, is it makes a big difference.
Absolutely. You know, I share that 100%, because, you know, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And no matter what the weather is like outside, if you say it's terrible, even if the sun is shining, then it's terrible. So no matter how you approach the subject, but if you have that positivity, and look, let's face it, it is a lifesaver. And without it, things could have turned out to be totally different. So why not embrace it and make the best of something out of something that for other people might seem totally foreign and daunting. And yeah, I remember when I was in hospital, the one lady, she actually didn't want a stoma, because she actually said it was vanity. But she was so poorly when I left hospital, she actually said to me, I should have taken a stoma, because look at me now. So I'm glad we're having this chat, because I think it's for us that are looking at it from a positive point of view, it's actually our duty to share our story, to make sure that other people see how we are living in an ostomy, that you can actually have a good life.
Absolutely. You know, it reminds me of a saying that I picked up about 20 years ago, 25 years ago. In life, we have two choices. We can react or we can respond. And I choose to respond by preparing myself, gathering information, credible information, so I can make a logical decision versus reacting, where you pretty much shoot from the hip. You may make a rash decision that you may regret later. And so I try to take that approach in life with almost everything.
Yeah,
I know it's a lot easier said than done, but in this case, I responded to my diagnosis by wanting the surgery because I had read about it and the importance of it, and then having an ostomy. So, and this is going to be permanent. So I was able to respond. Now, for me, that was easy.
Yeah.
And maybe that had a lot to do with my military experience, you know, because I was equipped to overcome adversity, you know, plan for the worst, hope for the best.
Absolutely.
You know, I had to adapt to different things, you know, in different theaters that I served. You know, I created an acronym for the word adapt. And this was created shortly after my surgery. And that adapt to me stands for attitude determines the ability for a positive transformation.
Wow.
Transformation. Sorry, I got my tank tangled.
No, but that's really beautifully said. So adapt is for, just share that with us again.
Attitude determines the ability for a positive transformation.
Wow, excellent. Now, talking about awareness and transformation, I know that you are very much involved in Ostomy Awareness Day, also in California. Perhaps you can share a bit about that, because we've just had in October, we've had Ostomy Awareness Day. Perhaps you would like to talk about that.
Sure. Yeah, the town that I live in, I had the mayor and the city council requested a Ostomy Awareness Day proclamation. Then I reside in Sacramento County, so I had the Sacramento County Board of Supervisors issue their Ostomy Awareness Day resolution, and at their in the city chambers. Then I, at the same time, I reached out to Senator Roger Nilo, and I reside in his district here in Sacramento County, and I asked him if he'd be interested in authoring a commemorative message about Ostomy Awareness Day in Sacramento County. I got contacted by his office a few days later. This was back in July, or beginning of August, I'm sorry. And on the 14th of August, he authored not a commemorative message. He authored a Senate concurrent resolution. And this was going to be on the agenda for the upcoming legislative session, which began in September 1st.
Wow.
But it gets better, because I'm invited, my wife and I and a couple of my colleagues were invited to the Sacramento State Capitol while Senator Nilo introduced this resolution on the Senate floor.
Wow.
And it went up for a vote, and it passed 37-0. And then it went in, it was, you know, a couple weeks later, and I'm in the chambers on the third level of the chambers at the gallery, at the Capitol. Mm-hmm. And it was all videoed. So they had a video and they sent the link to me. And then 2 weeks later, I'm invited to Senator Nilo's office, where he personally presented the framed resolution to my wife and I.
Wow. Congratulations.
And, thank you. I mean, and we're going to do this every year. This is a concurrent resolution. By the way, Senator Nilo's staff informed me that this is the first resolution of its type in the state of California. And, you know, I mean, wow. I mean, I had no idea that this would happen. I was just asking for a commemorative message. So, and then the local APC channel here in Sacramento, they have a show called Health Beat. It's a segment hosted by Bree Love. And I contacted her in late spring if she would be interested in covering Ostomy Awareness Day. And so we did the interview, and then that segment aired on the 9th of October. And we got to talk about all the different things that I've been able to share on the different platforms. So what a way to give back. But it's like I send out positive vibes. I get that back tenfold. So
absolutely.
And this opportunity to be on your platform, it just popped up on my Instagram, over the last weekend. And I'm like, I reached out. And so I figured we'd probably get connected by after the holidays. And you said, we can do the interview this week. I'll say, let's go. Let's do it.
Absolutely. You are such a trailblazer. I mean, my goodness, that sort of, it's just incredible. And I commend you for doing that. Really. Congratulations. It's quite something. And it's the people can't see you, but I'm sure they can hear your positivity. And it's absolutely refreshing to see that. So, yeah, it must have been an enormous honor for you to receive that. And well done. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's just absolutely amazing. And my wound nurse at the local VA, I'm here in the Sacramento area now. My wound nurse, when I relocated, by the way, I relocated to California, just real quick, in 2016, because the surveillance that I need, there's one particular scope. It's a single balloon or a double balloon enteroscopy. That procedure is not available in Hawaii. There's no medical facility that's accredited to have that procedure performed. I knew some GI doctors in Hawaii that have done them. However, not in Hawaii. So I was flown to Palo Alto VA Hospital, just north of San Jose, from Hawaii in 2014. And they said, come back in 2016 for your next round. So in 2016, I said, you know what? I'm just going to start my life all over again, because, as I mentioned earlier, the mutation can and will manifest in other organs. So it's the polyps in my stomach are too numerous to count, and the mutation 3 years ago, the mutation had reached the beginning of my small intestine. They found a 3-centimeter adenoma in the beginning of my small intestine, and I was referred to Stanford University Cancer Center for evaluation for a surgery to spare my pancreas from this mutation. So I didn't have pancreatic cancer. However, I was assigned one of the nation's leading pancreatic cancer surgeons at Stanford University Hospital. And we had this surgery in March, it was April of 2021. And it took a while to recover from that as well. However, the surgery was fine. And I have follow-ups with not only the GI doctor at the Palo Alto VA Hospital, he's also the director of the GI. And a quick story on that, little background. My GI doctor at the Palo Alto VA Hospital, he's the director. Little did I know, he's actually faculty at Stanford. He's on loan to the VA. So no pun intended, they know me inside and out. And so I get, and I just had my, my routine scopes this year, cause I have to go every 2 years now for the rest of my life. So they said, okay, everything's fine. Come, we'll see you in 2 years. And, I just go about my life as if nothing happened. And
well, and also because you've got that assurance, you're first of all on their radar, if I may call it that. And, you always seem to end up in the best of hands.
Yeah, it's just I like to think of it as divine intervention,
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, coincidence. That's just it's meant to be. And, and the thing is, I take everything. Even like I say, example, my mantra. I'll just jump into that. Okay, my mantra is always forge ahead with a purpose. If you take the first letter of each of those words, it spells out AFAP. So my point is, I have a positive spin on a bleak diagnosis. And I've also created another acronym for AFAP is advocacy from across the pond.
Absolutely. And yes, Dan is from across the pond. He's from California. We're going to have a short commercial break and then we'll be back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back to Stoma for Life. And as we were talking about across the pond, we've welcomed Dan Drydock Shockley to the show all the way from California. And I absolutely enjoyed your mantra. Perhaps you can share it with us again.
Always forge ahead with a purpose.
Because I mean, purpose, that's when I started the show, I spoke about purpose. And I think a lot of times we go about our life and we don't really know what our purpose is until life actually shows us. I know you have, you do an enormous amount of awareness in all fields, also mental health. I think you've got a list that's longer than my arm that, that perhaps you would like to share as well.
Absolutely. I have, if you Google my name, Dan Drydock Shockley, you'll find a boatload, no pun intended, of articles. There's at least, I check this about every week because I want to see what's out there. If there's an article that has a photo of me in it, I've either submitted that or I've collaborated with the individual organization who posted. The last count I had was 31 articles that either I had authored or collaborated with an individual or organization. And I believe there's 13 podcasts that I've been a guest on. Of course, this will be number 14, if my memory serves me. However, you know, just, and this is internationally now. So, and I just continue to, I like to look at it as casting seeds, you know, sowing seeds, you know, like a farmer, to see what comes to fruition. I mean, obviously this opportunity here came up really fast. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, you know, it'd be probably after the holidays, but that's just how I continue to sow seeds. And we'll just share in my journey with, on, you know, as far as hereditary cancer, colon cancer, ostomy, rare disease, men's mental health, any of those platforms that there's an opportunity just to share my positivity. And you know, screening saves lives. I mean, I'm living proof. So it's my way of giving back. And also is to educate the medical students. By the way, I collaborate with the rare disease in the rare disease community, Rare Revolution magazine based in the UK, as well as Rare Beacon. Now, Rare Beacon, they collaborate with, a team that has a student voice prize contest every year. And this is my fourth consecutive year that I've been, as a rare disease patient, I've been paired with a medical student. It's under Medics for Rare, I believe. So I've been paired with a student who's from Hong Kong going to medical school in Wales. And we had the video call about 3 weeks ago, and the medical student will have her essay prepared before the 15th of November. And then we'll go from there. But I've done this this is my fourth year. So it's an amazing way to help internationally give back to medical students.
Absolutely.
So I do it nationally as well. But any opportunities out there, I'm more than happy to collaborate.
And well, I mean, look, health and disease and that, there is no boundaries. You know, it happens to anybody, no matter where they live, no matter what age, no matter where they come from. And this will unite everybody. You know, it's we're all in this together in a lot of ways, you know, and together we can move ahead and learn from each other as well. I think that's so important, because your story will perhaps lead for somebody else to think about, okay, I might have had this in my family, but look at this guy. He's gone through it and he is walking his talk and it's so positive. So maybe I should go and have that scheduled colonoscopy and just go about it and do it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. My opinion, I mean, it saved my life. And yeah. By sharing my journey, hopefully it'll inspire and motivate, encourage others, you know,
absolutely.
To think about it.
Yeah. You know, when before I got my diagnosis, I knew something was wrong. So I was first misdiagnosed before I actually got a diagnosis. But once I received the diagnosis, I was actually relieved, because I knew something can be done. And that to me was a relief. And I think, okay, you didn't even know you had anything like that to deal with. But for the listeners out there that might actually think, oh, there is something wrong, the best thing to get peace of mind is just to have it checked out.
Absolutely. Yeah, I created another acronym about the word faith: full assurance influenced through hope.
Wow.
Because what is faith? You're believing in something you were unable to see. We have hope. Mm-hmm. And here's an example. You look outside and you see the tree branches swaying in the breeze. We cannot see the breeze. We see the effect of it. Yes. So what is faith? Having hope. Because you can't see faith, you just, you know, you see the results of it.
Yeah.
So it's just a little, you know, I'm good with acronyms. That's just, you know,
absolutely.
It's a play on words, but I live it. You know, I try to share that with, you know, on as many platforms as possible. You know, between my ADAPT, you know, attitude determines the ability for positive transformation. My mantra, always forge ahead with a purpose. They all tie in together. You know, and it's all part of my journey. I'm just thankful for the opportunity to you know, share my journey on your platform.
No, we all benefit from each other's story. And I'm really, truly grateful that you found the time to speak to us. We are almost at the end of the show. So I absolutely loved your mantra. And I actually want you to give me those acronyms for all those other ones as well. And I'll put them in the show notes for our listeners, because I'm sure they're just as interested. So
absolutely.
This goes full circle with what I said at the beginning of the show, is like in finding your purpose, like Mark Twain rightly said, that those are the most important days in your life, when you find your purpose and your why. Now, one of the most wonderful gifts of being human is that you have the ability and option to choose to live the life that you want. Now, there isn't a set of rules that forces humans, or a guidebook that teaches humans how to live a purposeful life. It's more of an individual rule on how to be happy with yourself and your life. Sometimes life sends you a wake-up call, and then people like you, Dan, make their mission and purpose to help others and to always forge ahead with a purpose. Thank you so much, Dan Drydock Shockley. It was absolutely amazing chatting to you.
Thank you, Rafael. I appreciate the opportunity. Look forward to collaborating with you and your team in the future. It's World Ostomy Day, so
absolutely,
we'll go international.
Yes, wonderful, wonderful. Can't wait to hear from you again. All the best, Dan. Take care.
Thank you very much.
Bye for now.